here we are. They have now arrived on this feast of the Epiphany. And I got to tell you, in all honesty, I have more questions than I have answers for you today, one of which is, so the prophet Isaiah, as Debbie shared with us, and by the way, nicely handled this rowdy bunch. You really took care of this bunch. I was proud of you. I definitely will. But here's the question. When the prophet, making these big, huge promises, then says, and a multitude of camels shall cover you. And my question is, and that translates into the good news how exactly? And there we were at the 8 o'clock service, and Karen Kish and Kathleen Plant stood up and said they were both wearing camel hair coats. And they said, camel hair coats. It's like, oh, mystery solved. You had to be there. So these strangers are strange, and the author doesn't give us hardly any information, but we know, given the nature of the story, that they couldn't be more foreign, and they couldn't possibly be more strange. I mean, their origin is never identified, their route is never clarified, the source of the dream that they had that leads them is never divulged. Their purpose, by the way, is suspect, and we know how this works. We know how foreigners are. I mean, what do foreigners do? They show up, they take our jobs, they eat our food, and these guys showing up, yeah, and they're plain people giving handouts, and probably in one of the boxes they have a bomb, no doubt, because they're foreigners. And we know how foreigners are, right? And what's even stranger is that they never convert, they never profess their belief, they never become Christians. We don't even know what their beliefs are. Apparently, the author doesn't even care. And then get this: they show up, they pass off these gifts. They're all excited. They're joyful, as we're told. And then, poof, they skedaddle. They're gone, never to be heard from again. They're foreigners. We know how foreigners are. And the entire Gospel of Matthew is framed from beginning to end by this scene and this, the impinging of these foreigners. Well, I came across this piece by a guy named Brian McLaren, and I have to tell you, I grew up, you folks know, I grew up Polish Catholic. I mean, that was all I ever knew as a kid, and then when I graduated eighth grade from the parochial school, we moved to Southern California, and I started in public schools, and I walked away from the church screaming at the top of my lungs, and swore I'd never darken the door of a church building again as long as I lived. And for a couple of years in high school and college, I tried atheism. I thought I was good at it until I crashed and burned. I mean, it is so much work to be an atheist, at least my version of atheist. You know, when somebody sneezes and somebody else says, God bless you, you can't let that slide. The fight is on. I'm sorry. And it was just too much work. I just couldn't sustain it. So I sort of burned out on that. It turns out I wasn't a very good atheist at all. And then I tried probably Buddhism, and I didn't even know what Hinduism was, and tried transcendental meditation and mixed that with any number of different kinds of substances, and it wasn't and then eventually I sort of literally fell backwards through the door of this tiny little Episcopal church in downtown Santa Ana, California, led by the enticement of a girl who, unbeknownst to me, and I just wasn't paying attention, which is the story of my life, by the way, happened to be the rector's daughter, and it was It was the beginning of the end of the beginning, if you know what I mean. And that was, up until recently, my exposure to you know, the various flavors of Christianity. Pretty limited. Well, the last few years, we've had any number of people who have come to us, you know, hungry, out of an evangelical tradition that I've known absolutely nothing about. And so these people have been educating me and have been encouraging me to read stuff. And I tell you, some of the stuff I've been coming across and we've been discussing in Sunday forums and whatnot has truly been amazing. And one of them is this guy, Brian McLaren, who is an evangelical pastor who had a spiritual awakening. And as a result of his spiritual awakening, he was kicked out of the evangelical church. I mean, talk about a cool response to a spiritual awakening, right? And, you know, and because it was a spiritual awakening, he just kept right on going with this thing. And he's written all these really mind-blowing books, at least for me, because, again, I know nothing of Christianity from the evangelical perspective. And I'm being educated as we go. Well, he wrote another book, Beyond the Secret Message of Jesus. It's called The Great Spiritual Migration. And he says this, and I share it with you. For centuries, Christianity has been presented as a system of beliefs. That system of beliefs has supported a wide range of unintended consequences, from colonialism to environmental destruction, subordination of women, which I think was actually an intended consequence, but that's just me. Subordination of women to stigmatization, did I say that right? Of LGBTQ people, anti-Semitism to Islamophobia, clergy pedophilia to white privilege. What would it mean, here's this question, what would it mean for Christians to rediscover their faith not as a problematic system of beliefs, but as a just and generous way of life, rooted in contemplation, expressed in compassion, that makes amends for its mistakes, and is dedicated to beloved community for all? There's a question for you on the Feast of the Epiphany, huh? With these foreigner so-and-sos showing up and doing what foreigners do. And then he goes on, for centuries, Christianity has presented itself as an organized religion, and he defines that as a change-averse institution or set of institutions that protect and promote timeless systems of belief that were handed down supposedly fully formed in the past. What might happen, asks Brian McLaren, if we understand the core Christian ethos as creative, constructive, and forward-leaning, as not an organized religion, but an organizing religion, if you see the difference, that challenges all institutions, including its own, as Jesus did, to learn, grow, and mature toward a deepening, enduring vision of reconciliation with God, self, neighbor, enemy, and creation? It's a good question, isn't it? One that might speak on this day of Epiphany. And then finally, It has been the joy of my life to become a part of a community that sees its mission and its work in the way that McLaren describes it. And to finish up with this, it's exactly why we're going to get involved in community organizing, because the broad-based community organizing effort is going to draw us more deeply into the community to connect with those who are in need, to connect with those from other faith traditions. I mean, this is where, I'm convinced it's where God would have us operating within the wider community. So it's an exciting effort that we're engaged in. with all that in mind. And the people said,